Some of you are waiting to see if something is going to happen, waiting for something to happen. And the Lord wants you to move. He wants you to act. He wants you to be the match that starts the fire. He needs us to be the ones to step out. That sounds a bit cliche, you know, like God's really waiting on us. That's why I hesitated. But it's true. There's people, they're waiting and they're watching, like, let's see what happens. I want something to happen. You're going to have to be the one. You're going to step out on the word. If you read Mark chapter 16, I believe it's verse 20, it says, "And they went out everywhere preaching the word, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following." He confirms his word. You've got to act on his word. You have everything you need. Did you hear what I said? You have it. People are waiting on a new revelation. You don't need a new revelation. You don't need it. You need to act on what he's given you. You want another revelation? Utilize what he gave you. To him who has, more will be given. See, it's the ones that are acting out on what they have. Man, that is the word. It is the word for today. That is the word. Step out. Step out. Yeah, but don't worry about that. Get that out of your vocabulary. What you need to say instead of "yeah, but" is "yes, sir." Did you hear me? Yes, sir. And the results, whatever the endeavor, is really up to him. It's between him and whoever is involved. You know, if he tells you to witness to somebody, do it. Don't hesitate. I assure you, that is not the devil. And you may even wonder if it's you. For most of it, no. Most of it, that's not our first inclination. Because we're thinking, what they might say no. Nobody likes rejection. Who likes rejection? You're going to have an altar call if any hands go up. Nobody likes that, right? And the Lord, what happens, whether they receive or not, is between them and God. You are successful whether they pray or not. You're successful because you obeyed. My success is built on my obedience, not the results. That's a word for me. Are you listening? Our success is built on our obedience. Did we do what we heard to do? There's people, they stall, and they're waiting for more. That's not us. That's not who we are. We're going to launch. We're going to do things. We're going to step out, even if we feel like we don't have enough. I was talking with Pastor Randy this past week. His gift, he's like a stallion at the starting gate of a horse race. I mean, he's just open the gate. And I'm over here going, now let's think this through, you know. And so gifts like me, and actually his daughter is wired exactly the same as me, and the son-in-law, and his wife, Pastor April, you guys met her. It feels like a whole lot of resistance. You know, people going, slow down. But we have to learn that we're not going to be comfortable. A teaching redemptive seems like a procrastinator, not because we're trying to put it off till tomorrow, like we're just being lazy. It's collecting information. I have to know that I got all the information so that I can do this once. I don't want to do it twice. I don't want to mess it up. I want it to be right the first time. Anybody? I mean, efficiency is a big deal to Wade. Yes. So, but that can frustrate the visionaries. And I'm wanting you to know, this is a word for me, that we're going to have to step out when we're not comfortable. I'm not completely comfortable with the amount of data that I have on this situation. The only data I need is, did God say do it? That's the only data I need. That's it. If he said do it, bless God, we're going to do it. Man, I got help this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm encouraged. How about you? Thank you, Lord. Well, say I am. I'm going to say yes, sir, when I hear his voice. Amen. Praise God. Well, turn around and greet at least two people and tell them you're in this thing. Glory to God. Well, let's get into the Word. I'm just going to get this introduced, and you can see we've got it set up same as last week, and so we're going to have another conversation. I think that'll be awesome. But I'm going to give it context. So if you would, go in your Bibles to John chapter 15. Now, this is part 11 of the Ships of God's Armada, and there will be a part 12. That's going to be next week, and that'll be the last part, and then we're going to move on from there. But what we're going to talk about today is friendship. Friendship. And I wanted to put a context to what we're learning about today and before we hand it over to Pastor Josh and Steve. And we've talked about several of these ships, and I won't go over those for the sake of time. But in John 15, look at verse 11. Jesus is speaking. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you." Isn't that an amazing statement? Whose joy is it? It's his joy. Whose joy is your strength? The joy of the Lord. It's not how happy we get. It's his joy that causes us to be strong. Isn't that powerful? And this is telling me that it's possible that his joy would not remain. Is it possible that we could forfeit his joy? We were just talking before service, Larry and I, that everything the Lord requires of us, he gives us. But he gives us joy. His joy comes with his presence. It's called joy unspeakable. There's not words that can describe his joy. And it's not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy can bubble out of you when you are being sandblasted by the devil. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you're standing in a tornado and yet you've got the joy of the Lord just keeping you anchored right there. Are you with me? Then he says, and that your joy may be full. So he doesn't want us to just have his joy. He wants us at capacity. That gets me happy. I feel my joy now. Glory to God. I feel it's his joy. Thank you, Jesus. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Friends, what are we talking about? Friendship, right? Friendship. Then he goes on to say, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Now, before I started learning about grace, I had a works mentality. And so I thought, okay, we just need to read the red. Whatever he said, you got to do it. Just do it. Do it. And so if I want to be Jesus's friend, I got to do it. That's backwards. He's saying the evidence that you are my friend is you do what I've said to do. It goes from obligation and works to desire. And compulsion. I'm compelled to do what he says. Because we're friends, I want to do what he wants me to do. Can you see that? So it's production, not performance. This is produced, I'm not performing. It's fruit, not works. Are you seeing this? He's not saying, "Now make sure you do what I said." He's not saying that. He's saying that is the evidence that we're in friendship. I'll know because you do what I say. Man, I hope you're getting this. "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." This is huge. You guys talked last week about fellowship, and in our home gatherings, it's all about being known. Being known. That scares most people. We like our privacy. We want a Facebook image which is, let me show you the best pictures of myself and list my greatest accomplishments. But in the home gatherings, we're going to know who you are. And that's where we grow, is in the honesty of being known. What's Jesus saying right here? He's saying, you're no longer my servant, you're my friend, because I'm going to make these things known to you. We're talking about opening ourselves, being known. Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you everything. Man, we need to have an altar call because you're not hearing that. Jesus is going to open himself and make everything known to you. And notice he says, no longer do I call you servants. You want to know how to be a friend? These are some of the questions. I may be ahead of you guys, but it's serving. Here's a revelation for you. I cannot create friendship. I cannot enter into friendship. I can only be a friend. It is up to the other party to call me friend. Once they consider me friend, we are in friendship. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. Did we have a ceremony? No. But it's the same thing. We agree to be friends. Friends serve each other. And he's talking about the greatest service is to lay down your life. That's love. So he's talking about that we love each other. All that wrapped together. How do we love each other? The love that he requires us to walk in, we talked about this in relationship, right? The love that he requires, we walk in love. He gives us. He gives us that supply. See, I just need to humble myself and not be selfish. Anybody ever been selfish before? Milton, you're the only honest. Okay, Jay. All right, I was going to say, we've all been selfish to some degree. In fact, it's the chief enemy, in my opinion, selfishness to friendship. But I can't create the friendship. All I can do is be a friend. If the person reciprocates and calls me friend, which Jesus did, we enter into friendship covenant. Isn't that powerful? Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. What's the fruit? You're going to do what he says. That's fruit, right? And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Praise God. Well, I could just keep right on preaching, but I'm going to hand it over to these guys. So praise God. Let's hear it for Pastor Josh and for Steve. You guys come on up.
Amen.
Okay, let's do the offering because I think we're done.
Yeah. Oh, I got the good stool this time.
Yeah, I think you switched it on me, didn't you?
Friends don't do that, do they?
No. I'm good.
Amen. Well, I guess let's get right into it. What's that? Oh, was it? Am I on? Okay. So, yeah, we're talking about friendship today, and that, what Pastor Wade taught, does lead in perfectly to what we're talking about. It sets up the context. And so we're going to do the same format as we did last week. We're just going to ask questions. I have no notes. Steve has some.
Teacher redemptive, sorry.
Yes. That's actually my number two, but I feel like I don't use it much. Yeah. Or maybe in a different way. I don't know. All right. So let's get that first question up. And I'm going to ask you this question, Steve. What is friendship to you?
Well, again, as a teacher redemptive, I got to go into the Greek and the Hebrew and look for the definition, because I always want to start there, where the Bible defines something. And the Hebrew word is marea, means companion or advisor. The Greek went a little deeper, and philos, a friend, someone dearly loved and prized in a personal and intimate way, a trusted confidant held dear in a close bond of personal affection. And the root of the word implies that there is an experience. It's not something that just happens. It is a relationship that's born out of repeated experience with someone that you develop trust, and that you know that person will come alongside you. I thought it was neat in Proverbs I think it's Proverbs 13. It said, no, I'm sorry, Proverbs 17. A brother is born to adversity with you. And that means that person is going to be with you through thick and thin. That you're not getting rid of me. In other words,
good.
There's nothing you can do. It's I guess it's a traveling from that knowledge and love that's born from an initial experience to moving to more of a unconditional agape type love. That's what a friend is.
I want to add in there too. I had this captain in the fire service, and we were just sitting there talking one day, and I said, "Yeah, my friend," and he stops me and he goes, "Why is he your friend?" And I thought like he had a problem with him, and I'm like, and he's like, "What's the hardest thing you've ever been through while you knew him?" And I told him, and he says, "Where was he?" I said, "That's a really good question. That's a really good question." Now, there is two sides to that. I have to reveal that to this friend. I have to reach out and draw on who they are. But it is true, friends are born out of adversity. Or maybe not born, but that covenant is etched when we go through something together and are faithful to one another through it. Amen.
So I just wanted to give one biblical example with Naomi and Ruth. It's from Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so if anything but death parts me from you." So, you hear the terms BFF, best friends for life, whatever. I mean, I think that you better be real sure about that. If you're making that covenant, it can't be surface.
No.
It has to go deeper.
Yeah, that's that's a really good point. That something that's modeled, I think, particularly in young people nowadays, is I don't think we do a good job as adults of modeling what friendship is. And we see that replicated in young people, and we kind of just say, "Well, they're young, they're doing their thing, da da da." But here's the problem, and this is a realization I'm having right now. The unhealthy expectation of what a friend is never taught or corrected or modeled out of them as they grow up. And so they grow up expecting, an 11-year-old level of commitment and relationship from adults, right? We don't know how to be friends with one another. And it is the reason it sparked that is that BFF thing. It's like, do you even know what that means? Like, do you know what a best friend is? I mean, I've got friends, and I won't go into detail, but they have put themselves in thoroughly uncomfortable situations just to be present with me. You know,
like
they've answered.
One?
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. Yes. But you know what I mean? It's like they have gone above and beyond. You know what I mean? It's stuff I didn't ask for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and preparing for this, I came across a book called The Art of Friendship by a guy named Joseph O'Day. And, with the focus, when we were young, it's having friends. You got to have friends. But what he pointed out, and it was so eloquent, that the Bible never talks about having. It talks about being a friend.
That's right.
Amen.
So good.
And so when we're young, I think and not so young, I think we judge our value on having friends and don't really think. so much about being, what it means to be a friend.
That's deeper than I think any of us get. That's so true. That's a great way to make quality friends, too, is to be one. Is it not? you know, I'm seeing this happen. There's been such a beautiful blossoming of our culture in this church, in this area, where I'm seeing people who before were sort of sitting on the sidelines investing in other people without being asked, without expecting anything. They are being a friend. And I'm watching the effect it's having on the person receiving it. They're going, oh my gosh. It really impacts people. And you know what? It's very Christ-like that we would go out of our way to be a friend to someone who didn't ask for it. You know, didn't God say that in Jeremiah? I'm going to go be a God to people who didn't ask me to be their God. I'm going to be a father to people who did not pursue me and seek me, right? Well, we can be a friend to people who didn't ask for it, right? How precious is that? And isn't it more blessed to give than to receive?
Yeah, and, you know, think about, I don't know how many people have experienced this in their life, but when you're the new kid in school, yeah, or when you're the brand new person on a team or brand new in a church that you've never been to before, that is not a comfortable feeling for most of us. I hope.
Yeah.
You are. I want to talk to you because I'd like to get that. But when we reach out, we're saying we're being a friend already. So I would just say, don't hesitate. Like the word was this morning, that applies to friendship. Mm. Just jump in.
Yeah.
Go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to unearth. Maybe some holiness, right?
Right.
Yeah. Isn't it true, if we all think back on times where, you know, you've got somebody pursuing you and it's like, hey, let's get together, and you're just kind of like, you know, and for whatever reason, we don't, right? They're annoying to us, or maybe we expect it's going to go a certain way, or maybe we've been hurt. But then you get together, and it goes so much better than you thought. You're just like, what have I been missing, right? I think that there is something to that, that we've got to change the way we think and wait to be teased into a relationship and be shown that it's going to go how we think it should go. No, man, just if you feel a draw, if somebody's pursuing you, you know, honor them enough to maybe give them a lunch. You know, it's always going to go better than you think, especially if it's in the name of the Lord like we do here.
So I don't know if this is the opportune time to ask this, but what is not a friend?
It is a good time. Well, all of us are going to come at this from different angles in our experiences. We're all going to think of the person that maybe hurt us or neglected us, and use that as our example for what is not friendship. And it's a vast subject, just like, you know, what being a friend is, what is not, is equally as large. And I think it's valuable to ask this question, not to find the people so much that are not being a friend in our lives and poke them in the eye, but it's so we don't be that, right? Exactly. What to avoid? Because yes, there is a healthy time to realize, to have someone love you enough to say, listen, that person is not your friend. There is a place for that. Because, and I believe this is a word for somebody, that it's very easy to spend yourself on someone who does not value you at all, right? Now, there is a place for that. There is, like we just said, there's a place to give where it wasn't asked for, right? Where there isn't an establishment of value. But over time, when does it cross over into casting pearls to pigs? Now, I'm not going to say when that is, but it's a good question to ask, right? So, but what a friend is not, and I'm just going to give you a few that are fresh on my mind. One is conditional. A friend is not a friend in the right conditions, a fair-weathered friend, right? You know, a friend is not a friend when there's something I can show up and poach or be a vulture from, right? Where I'm going to show up when it's great for me and when I'm going to get something out of it, right? What a friend is not, and this is one that I really want to touch on, is closed off, right? You know, Abraham was called a friend of God, was he not? Right? And it says in Genesis, God asked this question, shall I not reveal to Abraham what I'm doing? Like Pastor Wade just talked about. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you everything. Right? The mark, the tangible mark of friendship to me is when someone opens those barn doors and exposes their heart to me. That's when I'm seeing, wow, they, first of all, they're honoring me by letting me into this most holy place. Right? But second of all, they're trusting me. You know, like Pastor Wade said, you know, I can't take that crown of friendship out of somebody's hands and put it on my own head. You have to tell me I'm your friend, right? Well, by them opening themselves to me, they are doing that, right? And so friends are open with one another, with the good and the bad, right? Friends tell the truth with one another. I've seen that happen where people just keep you at arm's length, right? You can see on the surface, they keep you connected. They keep you on the leash enough to keep you in one another's life. They don't want to reject you, but they keep you at arm's length, right? And it's a very painful thing to go through when you're pursuing someone and they just have their hand on your face, right? Yeah,
I think that what we're really talking about is a relationship that's a two-way street. If you find yourself opening up and opening up and opening up, and all you're getting back is, well, this is what you need to do, or there's never an edifying from actual experience. They're not sharing with you. They're not. If they don't hear your heart, then they're not your friend. Proverbs 22. Says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. And the first thing I thought of was Facebook is full of angry people. Sorry.
That's so true.
But I have nothing against Facebook. I go on Facebook, but it seems like I'm talking myself out of it. But if all we're reading is rants, then, and from people that you consider a friend, maybe reaching out to that person and say, let me hear something good about you and about life. Oscar Wilde said that a friend is someone that stabs you from the front.
That is so good.
And we could go for hours about that. But yeah, edifying doesn't always mean saying, oh, yeah, that sure doesn't make you look fat. It makes you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, it's, you know, you need to help each other.
Yeah.
And not go behind and say, see what they were wearing. Be up front. Friend is up front. Yeah. Friendship is up front.
Yes, that's right. You know, what goes off on the inside of me is when somebody will say, because this has never happened to anybody, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's great, da-da-da, and then like 10 minutes later there's a Facebook post from that person, and they're like, you know when people say buh-buh-buh-buh-buh? And I'm like, you're a coward. Could you not say that to my face that you disagree? Am I wrong? That's not being a friend. Because listen, there ain't anybody on earth that I agree with all the way. None of us.
Agree.
Yes. We can agree on that. So listen, and this is something that's in our culture right now that we can't just say, I think differently. Okay. and move on. It's like, no, I've got to hold you down. You're going to think like me, and you know.
You're liberal or conservative.
Right.
It's, don't want to open that up, but.
That is a black hole.
No, just a pure. But we are people. I mean, I can like the spotted owl and be conservative.
Right.
And people can agree with me or not agree with me, and we can still be friends. Yeah. Because our bond is deeper than issues.
You know, and that's worth, we need to touch on that, because what friendship is not is a bunch of little things in common. Right? Like, I don't know what Pastor Wade's favorite color is. And he's not just my dad in the faith, he's my friend. Right? I don't know what your favorite color is.
I don't either. So okay. Okay.
You know, it's like we listen to different music, although I'm coming to his way a little bit. You know, there's a lot of differences. Yeah, finally. I'm finally listening to blues. Yeah. Actually, it'd be me saying that, because I'm a former metalhead, a recovering metalhead. So, but, you know, it's not about what we have in common. It's not about how much we agree on. It's, I love this person, right? I value you for who you are to me. Everything else is just sprinkles. It, you know, you can do without it. It doesn't really matter. And especially the truest friends, the deepest friends are ones that you know Jesus with together. That's the one thing a true friend must have in common, right? Because I've got friends that don't know the Lord, who reject him, and we have a whole lot more in common on the surface than we do. But you know what? It means nothing to me. I don't want to talk to him for more than 20 minutes. It reaches a point where it's like, you know, I've become spoiled with having a heart-to-heart connection with everyone. You know what I mean? So, what's the next question? I forgot what it is. What's the next one?
Why? Oh, she put it, why oh, do how? We need friendship? Oh, how? Okay.
How do we friendship?
How to be a friend. How to be how to be in friendship. Well, you know, the verse that Pastor Wade read in the beginning from John, it talked about changing that relationship between the apostles or the disciples and Jesus. It became a, I'm opening to you so you can have all this. It wasn't just him teaching them anymore. It was being known, as we said. So how would be willing to be known? The simple answer for I guess how to be a friend would be the golden rule. Luke 6:31, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them.
You know, I got to touch on that. What you just said is really something you led me to. After Jesus makes this proclamation in John that now you're my friends, right? What's the next thing that happened, the next event? He gets betrayed and then brings them to his darkest moment and says, I'm so sorrowful, I feel like I'm going to die. He made himself known to them. Did he have to tell them that? No, he didn't. Certainly not. He could have held that in, you know. And also, here's another facet. I don't believe he told them that just so they might write it down later. I think he was saying, help me. Help me. I feel like I'm going to die. I believe there's so much that John even said that. There's so much we didn't write down, right? He says that at the end of his gospel. If we wrote it all down, we'd fill the world with books, right? I believe in those moments, there was such tenderness between those men and Jesus. You know, I just put myself in their shoes. Here's the master walking up to me, this rock, you know, the I am. And he's covered in blood, right? And I reverence him. He's God, right? He's the Son of the living God. And he's sharing with me. He's saying, Peter, help me. I feel like I'm going to die.
Ugh. Can I interject there real quick?
Please.
I really feel like that was the point. He was most a man here on earth. When he asked for grace from his disciples, that he was fully willing to give to them. And to make it known that I need you too. Yeah. Is just humanity at its best.
Yeah. And think about what that did to them when he opened himself. Can you imagine how valuable they must have felt to him? The master is opening up to me. To me. All you can do is reciprocate, right? So a great answer, part of that, to how do we be a friend, be known. Allow yourself to be vulnerable, right?
Lose the fear
of
being known.
Don't raise your hands, but I imagine the reason most of us don't open ourselves is we're scared that we're going to get some sort of rejection or a negative response. Am I right? Well, on the other end, we kind of touched on this last week about how we should have this posture, this redemptive posture in fellowship, but we should have that in friendship, right? Are we making a safe place for someone to open themselves to me?
Yeah, you know, I really felt like this week was going to be a continuation of last week. Mm-hmm. But the more I got into friendship, I realized that it's a whole nother level. You can have fellowship with someone who's not a friend.
Yes.
But as friends, fellowship is paramount. I mean, it is what we do. It's how we became friends. And we can talk about things we have in common. I like talking about bikes somewhat, a little bit. Josh has his passions, but it doesn't really ever stay there. And when we have intimacy of our personalities, our fears, our dreams, when we can open up about that, we get help. I don't know of anyone who has ever had a dream about what they wanted to be and did it all by themselves. We need each other, and we need friends.
Yes, we do. What's the next question? Why? You don't have that verse in Ecclesiastes in there, do you? That's almost worth reading again.
Oh, I have it in my notes last week. What was that? 13?
Yeah, she had it. You know, it talked about that verse in Ecclesiastes we read last week about how, you know, two is better than one, and that somebody who doesn't have a friend, what was it? Yes, it leads into that. You know, there are times where you ever notice how there's a different dynamic with different relationships? There seems to be an ordination for different things to come from different relationships. Like, we've talked about this before, about, like, you know, you can tell your kids something 100 times, but then, like, they'll hear it at youth and it's like, bing, like, well, there's some things that are, there's certain relationships that are ordained for things to come from those, right? Or else there wouldn't, or else we would all just be husbands and wives to each other. Like, there's divisions of relationship, is there not? Well, why we should be friends is I heard there was a poem from the Revolutionary War where this this man was talking about, like, back in those days, I don't know if you guys knew this, the wives and the children would march with the men who went to war. And the women would set up camp and they'd wait while they went and fought and then come back. And, like, the whole family went to war, which is pretty fascinating. But this man was talking about the dynamic of friendship. And he says, it wasn't my wife who picked me up from battle. Right? He was talking about the bond that friends have in those hardships. Now, yes, wives, husbands, we can do that for one another. But there is a supply that comes from the category of relationship, of friendship. There are things we can do for one another as friends that just doesn't come as easily from these other relationships. Does that make sense?
Complete sense. Any of us that have ever, Mrs. Taylor, having taught or having coached, parents would come up to you, I'm sure, and came up to me as a coach. How did you get them to do that? I try to do that all the time. And they're just like, it's Nazareth, I guess, would be the best way to explain it. when it comes from an authority, it's different, or perceived authority. But I wanted to read something real quick, and I think it really sums up that verse in Ecclesiastes. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Simon Sinek. He's kind of the leadership corporate guru that people listen to now, but he has a lot of Bible in him, whether he realizes it or not. But this really answered the question for me about why. And it says, life is difficult and dangerous. Anyone who would attempt to do it alone is simply mad. We know to always do difficult things with a buddy. Remember growing up, you had to have your buddy system, you know, if you're going off and doing something on your own, don't do it. So if the journey of life is to be filled with setbacks and disappointments, with confusion and uncertainty, it makes sense that we should trust others to join us on the journey. As individuals, we're useless. We can't lift really heavy weights, and we can't solve really complex problems, but together we are remarkable. You know, it's, if you think, again, that this is a solitary journey, you're missing 99.9% of it. I think back to Father Giles from the videos of Godspeed. Here's a guy that he's a priest that lives in a monastery, or he's a monk, you know. And you think, well, those people don't have relationships. They're off by themselves. Some of them don't even talk. But when he came on, he talked about relationship. They know more about relationship than I think we can. We can have this cone around us in society, and I think of suburbia and people in their houses and don't even know what their neighbors look like because they studiously avoid them. sorry. that those people saw each other day in, day out. If they didn't develop relationships and friendships, they would explode. So I guess the why is because it is better with people. How do you know love on your own? Yeah. When Bridget and I first got together, it was we committed, made covenant to be friends first. If you don't have that bond, then it's probably, you know, it'll be a rough road. You can still build it, but it'll be harder. But really, with friendship, you can overcome most anything. I would say everything.
Yeah.
The yoke has to be equal. You have to be, I couldn't imagine being married to someone who wasn't born-again Christian. But in friends, we can lift people up.
Yeah.
So the why is, we're supposed to.
Yeah. It is good. It is good that we are together. how many of you want to just enjoy everything God designed? This is a piece. God, friendship was his idea. We didn't make that up. He came up with friendship. And so I think our encouragement is be a friend. And if somebody's after you to try and be a friend to you, reciprocate.
Slow down. Let them catch up.
Yeah. Let them. Let them see you. You know, if somebody loves you enough to pursue you when you don't want them, they're probably going to not be shocked at your worst, right? And this is the final thing I'll say, and I know we're at time. there's a clinical psychologist that I love to watch, Dr. Jordan Peterson, and he explores all of these things. And he did a four-hour lecture on friendship, and it's really good, but it's like intellectual stuff. So you got to learn to speak college before you watch this stuff. And I love how he summed it up. He said, you don't want to know how to be a good friend. Find someone, and he was using Simon, the guy who helped Jesus carry the cross, right? He said, find someone you care about, find the heaviest load they're dealing with, and bear under it with them, right? The heaviest, hardest thing you can with them. And he also says, and don't judge them for how they're handling it. He says, don't judge them. It's scary. It is true. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm over here just itching to say something. Let me give you a prime example of what happened in my life just not too long ago. And it just ties right in with what they're talking about. I went out to Walmart, got in my truck. I had a couple places to go to. Okay, went to Walmart, came out, loaded up my vehicle, and saw this gentleman out in the parking lot that I didn't even know. He's carrying around his bags like this. He's a senior gentleman with a load of bags, and he's out in the middle of the parking lot looking for his vehicle. I'm loaded. I've got things to do. I don't have time for all this. Isn't that our mentality? So I stopped with the gentleman. I said, sir, can I help you find your car? He's looking. He said, yeah, yeah. I said, what are you driving? He told me the description of the car. I went out. I'm looking. I'm driving up and back, and all of a sudden, I see it. It was parked in the handicapped space, the first space coming out of the store, yet he's way out in the back of the parking lot looking for his car. And it's, I mean, hot. You know how hot it's getting.
Yeah.
I made myself available. That ties in with your message, right? Yeah. This story isn't done. He was thankful and grateful he got to his car. I went to my next destination. It was almost like God was saying, you helped him get here because you took time and you showed the love of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I can't really follow that, so let's go. Now, I just wanted to share one last thing. I work at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I'm not on stage or anything like that, but I have to walk backstage to get to my office. And all along the hallways, there are African proverbs, just to show that this is universal. This isn't just something here in the United States. But one African proverb, and I want to make sure I get it right, that I see every day says, to go fast, you can go alone. But to go far, you have to go with someone else. Mm. So I want to go pretty far. I don't know about you.
Amen.
So. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Ecclesiastes, you know what? Yes, that's a good way to sum it up. Here it is. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. That is
he
really
went
good.
As far as he could. Hello.
And this is the last verse in that little section. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen.
Who's the other fold with? Amen. You win the prize. Yeah, like so it. There's two of you, and who else?
Jesus.
That's the third fold.
That's good.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, that was awesome. You know, I was thinking, too, what is friendship? Being a friend doesn't place demands on people. When we read what Jesus was saying, he wasn't saying, I demand that you do this. He's not making demands. He's saying it will be evidenced to me. See, a friend doesn't make demands. Isn't that powerful? And it goes all the way back to the garden. Sometimes we will only think of this verse in the context of marriage, but God said it is not good for man to be alone. He said that. He recognized that that wasn't good for us. Amen. Praise God. Well, ushers, if you'll come, we'll get ready to